Well, it's time for Tech Tuesday now. I'm joined by Daniel Watson, founder and managing director of Vertec IT Services. He volunteers his time every couple of weeks to share his thoughts on all things tech. You're on the Gold Coast, Dan. How's it going over there?
It's overcast. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, really?
Quite happy where you are, I'm sure. It's a couple of degrees warmer, that's about it.
Okay, interesting conference you're at?
Yeah, it's one of those conferences for peers. So it's a bunch of IT business owners and you talk about your problems and everybody's got the same kind of issues. It's like that in every industry, but it's so useful to actually talk with people who've either had the problem you had a couple of years ago and they share with their wisdom with you. It just saves a lot of time of wailing and gnashing of teeth trying to figure stuff out for yourself the first time.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
So there's a few things happening in the world of tech. Tell me about the LastPass breach.
Yeah, okay. So LastPass is a password management tool. It's quite a popular one. It's got several tens of millions of users. It's fairly reputable. They had their source code breached through their development environment. And whilst that sounds kind of scary, they haven't actually had any customer information exposed. So nobody's passwords have been looted, as it were. So that's probably the main thing to put out there is that you shouldn't be put off using them necessarily because nothing of yours has been exposed or even could have been exposed, because the way that these tools generally work is that whilst they're storing your passwords in the cloud, they're fully encrypted and it's like a lump of raw metal that they're just holding there. It's useless until somebody takes a hammer and smashes it into the shape of an actual password. So yeah, the only thing about source code is it just makes it easier for somebody to have a look and understand how their program works, right? Which might lead to vulnerabilities being found in the future, but people can do that and reverse engineer their actual code from, you know, downloading the software off the internet anyway. So it's not the worst thing in the world to have happened.
So the message from you is don't panic, and if you see a headline that this cloud-based password service has been hacked, don't worry. You still recommend people use a service, if not this one, a service like this, where instead of remembering all your passwords and probably having like two passwords, an easy one and a hard one, you leave it all in the cloud.
Yeah, because a good password manager is going to make good password use simple for you. It's not going to let you use the same password twice. It can remember thousands of incredibly good passwords for you and make it easy for you to deploy them. And another really cool thing that I hadn't thought of until just recently is that, you know, phishing links where people are trying to con you into going to a website that looks like the website you think you want to go to. Well, password manager, because the way it looks at the actual address of the password and goes, I have a password for this or I don't, right? So, you know, if you think you're logging into your banking website and the password manager is not saying, hey, I've got a password for that, that should be a bit of a, like an extra warning sign, like, oh, hang on, what, I have to do this manually for this? Man, that's not right. So yeah, there's loads of ways that can help protect you across all sorts of tools like that.
Yeah, my only, sometimes Google will offer to create a big password for me. And my only problem with that is that it's a bit hit and miss when it remembers it and when it doesn't. I think probably something to do with our system here at work, where you log onto a computer and often it's like you're logging on for the first time, and all that sort of convenient stuff like autofill passwords isn't there. So, you know, if I really want a password.
Not using your browser to remember passwords like that. If you're not logging into that browser with your account, like Gmail account or something with it.
I know. So even when I do, it seems to be hidden
and
miss.
It's a shared use computer.
Yeah. Mm. However,
the other side of that is it's actually quite easy to recover passwords out of browsers. So I don't recommend using those at all.
Okay. So if you're going to put them in the cloud, use a devoted service. One that a lot of our listeners will use is WhatsApp, and there's been some news on this application as well.
Oh yeah, that's something I just noticed recently, is that they've actually released a full version of a native Windows application, right? So one of the things that always annoyed me about WhatsApp, although it's very useful for on your phone, is that, you know, you couldn't have it both on your phone and your laptop, so you can synchronize stuff. So, I mean, often I'm like, oh, like I just want to send that person a document, but it was a bit of a pain to do that through your phone. Now you can use WhatsApp on your laptop without your phone even having to be on, which is one of the previous restrictions as well. So that is very useful for those of us who are involved in multiple groups and trying to coordinate stuff with documents and all the rest, as many of us are.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, I know that you've been able to do it on Mac up until now, but the being able to do it on Windows is a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's quite useful. So yeah, and they've got good secure communications end to end, and it's tremendously useful. You know, especially when you're traveling and you don't necessarily have a good roaming plan, you can always use those kind of tools for when you can connect to wireless hotspots at hotels and such to do all your calling.
We have just here in the afternoons team slightly changed the way we communicate with each other, and it's a change that I know a lot of businesses made a few years ago. A few others sort of waited until the pandemic lockdown and were forced to do it. But we're using basically a chat function, and there's various examples of them, Slack and Teams, Google Chat, I think, is one. So instead of 1,000 emails, we're all in the same chat and we're sharing things and everyone can see everything. And it's quite a big change for us, but having done it, I think we're all really enjoying it. Are you the same at your work?
Yeah, absolutely. We're pretty much using Teams as our internal communication. Email is really only for external communication because, you know, with the Teams, it's so much more persistent. There's a lot of extra functionality in there that you don't get with plain old email.
Yeah, such as?
Yeah. Oh, God, put me on the spot. Well, the at mentions, so that you can, people get little notifications if you go at Jesse, you know, so within a chat stream, having the files embedded in there so that they can go back and reference and see, look at those, where those files were, because they will stay within the SharePoint environment.
Yeah, right. Whereas if someone forwards a document to me, and then I reply to them, and then they forward it to someone else, the document's lost along the way. Did you know that?
Oh, well, you get huge numbers of variants of it, and it's hard to keep track of.
Right. Just silly. Did you know that Slack, which is another form of that team chat, is actually an acronym?
No, I actually didn't. What is an acronym
Slack
for?
Slack is an acronym for searchable log of all conversation and knowledge. And when you know that, that kind of highlights why people are moving to that sort of format, whether it's Slack or another one, because you can search it easily.
Yeah, great point.
Because if a team member joins and they want to catch up, they don't need to have received all the emails. They can just go onto the Slack channel or the Teams channel and take a look. It's kind of seems to be where office life is going, but you just need to give everyone a bit of a G up to move on to it because you know, actually anything new, particularly with something like email, where you're so used to it and you're such a master of it, it's quite challenging to get people to try something else. My team's been amazing, but I know that it's been a big issue, you know, in other offices.
I think most people will get basic facility with it. That's the kind of running joke that I have, is that, you know, there's a new version of the Office suite which comes out every 3 or 4 years or so, but most people only mastered the features that were in Office 97 and hadn't really progressed since then.
It's so true.
You know, so I still come across people where I show them control C and control V for copy and paste, and it blows their mind, you know, because like, it saves them 4 or 5 mouse clicks every time. That's kind of how that rolls.
No point in introducing tech if people aren't going to give it a go and adopt it and use it right. It becomes pointless. It's only as good as how much it's adopted.
Yeah, sometimes a team only moves forward as fast as the slowest member.
I hope I'm not that member.
But you can't just leave them behind. You just help them along. There's one cute little tech tip I've got for you, which is everybody upgrades their phones every 3 years or something like that, whenever Vodafone or you know, the big telcos have their deals. See, you know, most people have got like a couple of phones sitting in their drawer. There is a free web app called critter.camera that you can, if you just put that critter.camera into your web browser on an old phone, you can turn it into like a, you know, trail camera. If you want to see what the dogs are up to at home during the day when you're not there, grab an old phone, plug it into the power, open it up, go on the browser to critter.camera, press the start button, and it will calibrate, like, you make sure you're not in the room at the time, and it'll look at the room and go, you know, calibrate to make sure there's, you know, has a good idea of what's in there. And then it'll, if anything happens during the day, it'll take photos of all the changes, and then you can come back later on and just have a review of the little photos.
Great tip.
It's cute.
Finish.
It doesn't go anywhere. It's just all sitting on the phone.
Great.
So it's not
uploaded
to anything else.
Great tip to finish Tech Tuesday. Dan Watson from Vertec IT Services. Enjoy your time on the Gold Coast, and thanks for your time.
Cheers, bud.